Hi, this week we're considering this question, things you need to know about Islam. This is part one. This is a large topic and hardly one that can be covered in this short program. We'll cover this subject for 2 weeks in hopes of giving the listeners some things to consider about Islam. The word Islam is the name of the religion that came from the teachings of Muhammad. Islam is the Arabic term for submission. Muslim is the word that is the name given to those who adhere to the religion of Islam. This word means one who submits. Let me tell you a little story of the history of this religion. In the year 570 AD, a man was born in the city of Mecca, Saudi Arabia, named Muhammad. His father died before he was born, and his mother died when he was 6. His uncle reared him. Growing up, he made several trips to Syria, where he probably met some Christians, and he probably heard Jews and Christians discussing their religious differences. He began to manage the affairs of a rich widow, and when he was 25, she offered marriage to him, which he accepted. His new wife was 15 years older than him. Together, they had 2 sons and 4 daughters. The sons died when they were young. He died in the year 632 at the age of 62 years old. I'll read now from the World Book Encyclopedia, and as I read this, keep in mind that the article written in World Book was critically reviewed and accepted by Islamic scholars. And my point is, this is an accurate statement of what Muslims believe. Quote, when Muhammad was meditating alone in a cave on Mount Hira, a vision appeared to him. Muslims believe that the vision was that of the angel Gabriel, who was called Muhammad to be a prophet and to proclaim God's message to his countrymen. I'm continuing to quote. At first, Muhammad doubted that his vision had come from God. But his wife, Khadija, reassured him. She became his first disciple. For a time, no more revelations came, and Muhammad grew discouraged. Then Gabriel came once more and told him, arise and warn, magnify thy Lord, wait patiently for him. At first, Muhammad may have told only relatives and friends of the revelations. But soon he began to preach publicly. Most of the people who heard Muhammad ridiculed him, but some believed. Abu Bakr, a rich merchant, became a disciple. Omar, one of the leaders of Mecca, persecuted Muhammad at first, but later accepted him as a prophet. End quote. Now, my friends, I'm not making this up. This is exactly what the encyclopedia says. I've added nothing to the article, and I've left nothing out. The article has been critically reviewed by Muslim scholars. Now, here's what I want you to focus on. Here is a man who has a vision while meditating in a cave. He himself doubts that the vision was really from God, but his wife convinced him that it really was from God. Now, question, how do we know that this man, Muhammad, how do we know that he had a vision from God? How do we know that the angel Gabriel appeared to him and delivered a revelation from God? What proof is there to demonstrate that God was behind any of this? The answer is, my friend, here's the proof. Are you ready for this? The proof that Muhammad is a prophet from God is that his wife said that he was. How about that? Never mind the fact that Muhammad never worked any miracles to prove that he was a prophet. Never mind that he never gave a single shred of proof that he was a true prophet. We are being asked to accept the idea that he was a prophet because his wife convinced him he was a prophet. And not only this, but as he began to have more and more so-called revelations from God, Muhammad declared that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, nor equal with the Father in heaven. Mohammed declared that Jesus was only a prophet from God, nothing more. Never mind the fact that Jesus worked miracles to prove that he was from heaven, John 10, verse 38. Never mind the fact that Jesus died and resurrected again and showed himself alive to over 500 eyewitnesses to demonstrate that he was the Son of God, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. And never mind the fact that the apostles of Christ were baptized with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. That they worked miracles to prove they were from God, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. And that these apostles declared Jesus to be the divine Son of God. No, we're supposed to ignore all of this about Jesus and take the word of a man who had a vision in a cave, who doubted himself that it was a vision from God, and his wife convinced him that it was a vision from the angel Gabriel. Now, let me read a passage from the Old Testament, and remember as I read this that Muslims accept the truthfulness of the law of Moses. They believe that Moses was a true prophet from God. So here's a passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and Jews and Christians and Muslims all believe that what I'm about to read is the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says, Exodus 4, verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A rod." He said, "Cast it on the ground." So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. "That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again." So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. "Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." Now, do you see how God works according to this passage of Scripture? God gives evidence to people to prove that a messenger is from heaven. God never expects people to just believe without any evidence. If a man is a true prophet, he must demonstrate this by performing some miraculous sign. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now, I submit to you, my friend, that Muslims have their faith rooted in the wisdom of men and not in the power of God. Not only do Muslims place their faith in a man who never proved himself a prophet, but Mormons do the same thing. Joseph Smith, who claimed to be a prophet with a new revelation, never worked one miracle to prove that he was from heaven. When people blindly follow after so-called prophets without one shred of proof that the prophet is actually from heaven, they are destined to fall into a ditch with the prophet, Matthew 15, verse 14. And I close with this warning from the Apostle of Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Well, that's the end of part one. We invite you to come back and listen next week to part two. And we also invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. And there are no spaces between those words. There at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week as we consider part two of this message, Things You Should Know About Islam.